Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Ezra, chapter 9. Ezra, chapter 9. I do appreciate the privilege and the opportunity to be here. And our prayer is that we can be a help and a blessing to you today. Book of Ezra, chapter 9. I've been good reading in verse number 10. Ezra, chapter 9, and verse 10. The Bible says, "And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by the servants, the prophets, saying, The land unto which you go to possess it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands. For there are abominations which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that you may be strong and eat the good of the land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds, for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve, hast given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hast consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses. We cannot stand before thee because of this." Our Father, I pray this morning that you'd help us in the next few minutes. I pray that, Father, you give us liberty. And I pray that, Father, you speak to every heart that's here this morning. You know the need of every individual. And I pray that, Father, you would meet that need. Give us the words that we need to say. And I pray that, Father, you'd have your will and have your way. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. The children of Israel are in captivity. The Bible says that they have forsaken God. They've turned their back on the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac. Now Ezra heard how the people of Israel, the Levites, the priests, have not separated themselves from the people of the land. You go back and you study and read this chapter, you'll find that's what was going on. When Ezra heard this, the Bible says that he rent his garments and his mantle, and the Bible says that he plucked off the hair of his head and his beard. He sat down upon the ground astonished. He was astonished at what they have done. He was astonished at what they had become. They have transgressed against the Lord God Almighty. In Ezra chapter 9 and verse 5 and 6, Ezra the scribe, the Bible says, "At the evening sacrifice arose from his heaviness, his heartbrokenness, fell down upon his knees, and he spread his hands unto the Lord. He was ashamed, and he was blushed," the Bible says, "to lift up his face to God for the iniquity and the great trespass that the children of Israel, what they have done against God." May I say to you and I this morning, God, help us this morning in the day and hour that we're living in, and to be true to our God, to be true to what God is doing in our hearts and in our lives. That God is still God this morning. And Ezra says in verse 10, "We have forsaken the command." Notice what he said. He did not say the children of Israel had forsaken, but he said, "We." He included himself that we, Ezra the scribe, had forsaken the commandments. Ezra himself put himself there. He said, we have forsaken God's commandment. Chapter 10 and verse 1, Ezra prayed and he confessed and he wept and all the people wept sore. It was because of Ezra saw what the children of Israel were doing. And he said, not only did they trespass, but me as myself has trespassed against the Lord. And he began to pray and ask God and went to God for help. You come down a little bit and you'll find that Ezra purposed in his heart. You and I need a purpose in our heart. And the Bible says that he did it. It's one thing to purpose in your heart, but it's another thing to do it. You can purpose all kinds of stuff in your heart, but to do what you purpose to do. And the Bible says that Ezra purposed in his heart. You see, this morning, America is no different. There are abominations. God's people is no different. The children of Israel, they're in Babylon for 50 years. It's been a long time in captivity, in a desolate land away from their homeland. You get to chapter 9 and verse 8, the Bible says, and now for a little space of grace. Now I'm glad this morning that God still has a little space of grace for the church, amen. And that God has a little space of grace even for that sinner this morning, amen. You study this chapter, you'll find they was given a space of grace to repent, amen. And I'm glad there's still a grace to of a space to you and I to still repent, amen. Then you find there was a space to rejoice. The happiest you ever been in the house of God is rejoicing over what God's done for you. Amen. You ought to go back and dwell on the way it was before you got saved. Without hope, amen. Without God. And look what God has done for us now. Amen. Look at what God's done in your heart. Look what God has done in your life. Amen. Aren't you glad for a little space of grace that God has given us, amen. He gave them a space of grace to resolve the temple. Remember the walls, Nehemiah, the walls of Jerusalem was torn down and Nehemiah's heart was broke. And the Bible says that the king allowed him to go back to rebuild the walls. So there was a space of grace to restore. But then he talks about in this chapter a space of grace for revival. I still believe our country can have revival. I go to these meetings and I hear preachers over and over, God's done with America. I don't believe that. I still believe God can still do something. Amen. God is still on the throne. I realize, somebody said America will not have revival. With an attitude like that, it won't. Amen. Somebody said, well, our church won't have revival. With an attitude like that, it won't. But I still believe God has given us a space of grace to repent, to restore, amen, and to have an old-fashioned revival. God can still do it. Amen. He did it for the city of Nineveh. It was in a bad way. It was in bad shape. But God sent revival. But God's people got to realize they need revival. Amen. But here the king in Babylon had made a decree for those who wanted to go back to Jerusalem and build the temple that they had his permission. And the job was given to Ezra the scribe. All that was requested was given to Ezra by the hand of the Lord, the Bible says, was upon him. You ever been around people that God's hand is just on? I think of Brother Earl Hughes. Man, I think about him and I'm in meetings and his name will pop up. But I tell you what, there was that man, I never heard him. I met him when I was a little kid. I was just 9, 10 years old when I first met Brother Earl. I've been around him. He's ate at our table and stayed at the house. And I never heard him say one bad. I believe he could find something good with the devil. He never said nothing bad about nobody. No, not one bad word against nobody. And the hand of the Lord was upon him. I like being around people like that, don't you? I mean, brother, all they talk about is God, how good that God has been to them. But here, Ezra was, you know, he said, now God has been good to us, amen. Was requested, was given to Ezra by the hand of the Lord that was upon him. In chapter 7 and verse 10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel the statutes and the judgments which needed to prepare our hearts. But in our text this morning, out of verse 13, the Bible says, and after all this has come upon us for our evil deeds, the transgressions, the iniquities, turned our back upon God, our great trespass, sin, that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve, hast given us such deliverance as this. I want to preach on this thought this morning. I'm doing better than I deserve. You ever heard anybody say, I'm doing better than I deserve? Oh, you're looking at a feller, I don't deserve what I've got this morning, but hey, I am doing better than I deserve. First of all, I want to say his goodness is better than I deserve. Amen. I'm glad this morning for God's goodness in my life. It ain't because of who I am. It ain't got nothing to do with my name. It ain't because God just like being good. Amen. I'm glad I'm God's goodness in my life. You think about, you realize it ain't in God's nature to do bad. His divine nature is to do good. It starts out in Genesis chapter 1 in creation, and it was good. Somebody said, well, you pass his own lost, you know, and they die. It ain't God's fault. God has done everything possible that he can to keep people out of hell. Amen. And it's just all of God's goodness. There ain't a person sitting here this morning that can give a testimony and say, I deserve God's goodness. I'm doing better than I deserve. I don't know about you. Amen. That is his nature. God's nature can't be nothing but good. We was in a meeting last week, and I left, and Esther speaks up. It says, I want some ice cream. Well, I didn't quite answer her. Then the conversation went to something else. Then Mama speaks up. Jill, she says, that does sound good. I'd like to have some ice cream. Well, I still didn't answer. I didn't say, yeah, I'm going to run it by the Dairy Queen. You know, stay in a motel. Dairy Queen's right next door. You can walk on over there and get it. But the conversation went to something else. Well, we got closer, you know. Samuel speaks up. Ice cream does sound good. I ain't answering nobody. I didn't tell him, yeah, I'm going to go over. But I tell you one thing, I got to thinking, you know, and I got to thinking about this message. And I didn't go back years ago when Esther done wrong. I didn't think of something like, what did she do wrong with it? She didn't deserve ice cream. Yeah, there have been times, no doubt, she did not deserve it. There have been times my boys didn't deserve it. There have been many a time my wife didn't deserve it. Amen. I'm telling you what, went on in there and they told me their order, and I didn't get it mixed up this time. I mean, I go through them drive-thrus, I can get it all messed up, or they don't understand. I said, is this not an English-speaking country? You want it messed up? Go to a drive-thru. Amen. But anyhow, I go in there and I order, aren't you glad that sometimes God just gives us a little bit of ice cream? Knowing you didn't deserve it. Knowing, brothers, we got what we deserved this morning. It wouldn't be nothing but good, but it'd be bad. But aren't you glad that God don't reward us according to our deeds? Amen. That God is good to you and I. I'm so glad for His goodness. His character. Everything about God is to be good. Everything about Him. What a good God. You can't say enough about Him. God is good. You think about all the baggage that you and I have. You think about all the junk God puts up with us. I mean, just all the junk we get involved in. I mean, it's just a miracle that He just don't kick us, amen. But you know why? It's His goodness toward us. God is just good, amen. God takes pleasure in being good. He likes pouring it out on you and I. When you know and I know in our heart we don't deserve it. There ain't a person in here can raise their hand and say, I deserve His goodness. You see, we should rejoice because of His goodness. I got to looking at these verses this morning again. I look over in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 9. And Jethro rejoiced for all His goodness which the Lord had done to Israel. He didn't just say to me, but he said what God. He saw God do something in the nation of Israel and he rejoiced over it. You and I are to rejoice on when God blesses somebody else. You ever been around some people and God blesses them and they're going to look something bad about it? God blesses them with a new vehicle. And they're going to look go around and say, well, I see that wrong with it. Why don't you just bless God with them? Rejoice with them. Bless the Lord, amen, that God has been good. I'm telling you, God's been good to you here this morning. And God has been good to me. I ain't always been good to God. Oh, no. But when I ain't good, He's still good. Now, He will get a hold of you. He will whip you. You know what? I got to thinking years ago, it dawned on me, when I'd get in trouble and I'd get me a good whooping from my daddy, the closer I got to him, I tried everything in the world. There was a time I put a book back there, it didn't work. Amen. Stuffed it with toilet paper, that didn't work. Because he'd go down a little bit lower. But then I noticed if I get closer to him, it didn't hurt as bad. When God has to get a hold of us sometimes, we just get a little closer to Him. It may not hurt as bad. It lets you know that He loves you. It lets you know that He's still good to you. Amen. Hey, we need to rejoice in the fact for God's goodness toward you and I. Amen. I'm glad for His goodness in my life. You know, Psalms chapter 107. Verse 8, it's all through this chapter, but we'll just read this verse here. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. You ought to rejoice this morning in the simple fact that God is good. You know, God likes to reveal His goodness. Has God ever revealed His goodness towards you? Oh, I'm telling you what, it ain't just, as I said, I like being good to my kids. But aren't you glad that God is good to you and I? And He likes to reveal it. I mean, when God reveals, you remember Moses over, you know what God said to Moses? I'm going to reveal, I'm going to show you my goodness. There Moses said, Lord, I'd like to see you. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Look, Moses, I'm going to do this thing. But I ain't going to let you see me in the front, but I'm going to let you see the hinder part of me. But I'm going to let my goodness pass by. Been times I've seen God's goodness pass by. I didn't deserve it. Hey, I'm doing better than I deserve this morning. Hey, I'm so glad that he reveals it. Moses wanted to see it so bad. Wanted to see his glory. Wanted to see his goodness. God said, I'm going to show it to you. Moses come off the cliff out of the mountain. The glow about Moses. They knew he'd been with God. If you and I just get around the goodness of God, let God show his glory to you and I, people would see it. It'll be revealed. God revealed himself to Moses, but when Moses come off the mount, it was revealed to the people. God's goodness. I like what the Bible says, Psalms 23 and verse 6, surely goodness and mercy. You've heard me say it before. I do know three other angels' names, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I was born February 12, 1970. Surely looked over at goodness, and goodness looked over at mercy. Let's follow him. I've turned 50 years old this year. Surely goodness and mercy still follow me. All the day. You're saved because of surely goodness and mercy. It's all because of God's mercy in your life. It ain't because we deserve it. It's because God gave it to us. Amen. It's revealed. His goodness should lead you to repentance. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance, it's long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Oh, I'm telling you this morning, I'm doing better than I deserve because of his goodness. I'm doing better than I deserve because of his grace. I'm thankful for grace. Amen. Grace, grace, wonderful grace. I'm glad this morning for God's amazing grace. Amen. Aren't you? You're saved because of the grace of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There in chapter 2 and verse 5 of the book of Ephesians, it says, by grace ye are saved. We're alive this morning because of grace. We're saved because of grace. Amen. He should have wiped us out. He should have got rid of us. He should have picked us and threw us out. Amen. Picked us up and got rid of us. But aren't you glad he didn't do that? Because of grace this morning. Some of you, real bad life before you got saved. But grace came by. You see, grace found us. Amen. Grace came looking for me. You look at your life now. Look what you are now. It's all because of grace. Grace founds us. Grace forgives us. You're forgiven by God because of grace. Amen. Aren't you? Remember, God said he remembered them in Psalm 78 that they were but dust. He did not reward them according to their iniquity, but yet forgave them. God's done forgiving you even before you asked for it. Amen. Grace. Grace forgives. Grace fixes us. Took a lot of fixing on many of us, but it was grace. You see, grace will finish us one day. We'll go to heaven because of grace. I want to say, next of all, we're better than we deserve. Because I'm not rewarded for our iniquity. You think about our sin. Jesus Christ had to die on the cross of Calvary because of the sin of the world. Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. You see, this morning, it's all because of God's grace. That he did not reward us for our iniquity. You see, we confess to God how vile and wretched we are. But God don't remember. Do you realize this morning people have come from their past sins and get saved or what have you, and they always keep bringing up the past. God don't remember. He said, what are you talking about? I don't remember them. And even after salvation, there's some of us done a lot of bad stuff even after salvation. Amen. But God still forgives us. And then he don't remember them no more. You know, you and I remember some things I don't want to remember. And things I don't want to remember is the things I remember when I don't need to remember. But God don't remember nothing. You come to him with forgiveness. You know what he says? I'll take it. Then he seals it up in a bag. And there as far as the east is from the west to be remembered no more. Amen. I'm not rewarded according to my iniquity. Then I'm doing better than I deserve because his mercies are renewed day by day. There's the attributes of God I don't understand. I can more understand the wrath of God than I can the love of God. I can understand the wrath of God than I can other things about God, that his mercy, his grace. But aren't you glad that God is just good to us? He's better to you than you are yourself. When you're asleep at night, God's good to you. You know what we need? We need to thank him for his goodness in our life. Thank him that he did not reward us for our iniquity. Then the renewed. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. And his compassions faileth not. His mercy is great. God is faithful. And God don't fail. He's the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. He is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be worshipped. He's worthy just because of his goodness toward you and I, the mercy of God. You see, it's not just on mom and daddy, it could be on our children, it could be on our grandchildren. The mercy of God faileth not. See, you and I fail, but God don't. I want to say last of all, I'm doing better than I deserve because I'm not going to hell. I ain't going. You ever heard anybody tell you, won't you just go? I can't. If I wanted to, I just can't. Who would want to? I ain't really a person really, really, truly wants to die and go to hell. But I'm glad I'm doing. Hey, I must stand here before you this morning. I deserve hell. I deserve the very pits of hell. But I ain't a God because of God's mercy and his goodness in my life, amen, and his long suffering toward me. I'm not a going. It's impossible for God to do some things, and one of them is to put me in hell. He can't do it. If he does, he's a liar. That Bible says that God cannot lie. Amen. It ain't because I'm good. It ain't because I'm the best. Oh, no. God is good. God is merciful. And he is safe. Whosoever will. Amen. You hear lost this morning? He's a good God. You say, you don't know what I've been. You don't know what I've done. It don't matter. God's goodness and his mercy. Oh, yeah. Let's say the vilest of sinners. Paul said he's done the chiefest, so he done saved the chiefest among them. Hey, you ain't got nothing on Paul. I mean, God has saved whosoever will. Amen. I'm doing better than I deserve because I ain't going to hell. You see, I'm sealed. No man can pluck me out of his hand. The devil can't do it. The Baptist can't do it. Amen. Jesus said, I ain't doing it. He can't do it. You understand how big God's hand in is? The Bible says that the oceans and the seas and the water are in the palm of his hand. Then he says, me and you is in there. And then as big as God is to live in people like us. But yet, I'm his and he's mine. But most of it all, he's got me. I ain't got him. Amen. And I'm in him. Hallelujah. And brother, it's impossible. I'm doing a lot better than I deserve because of his goodness. I ain't going to hell. Amen. You see, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for the lost sinners, for human beings. But if you die lost without the Lord, that's where you go. It's not something that I said. It's what the Bible said. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. You see, Luke chapter 16, there's a rich man, and the Bible says, and in hell, he lift up his eyes. He had a chance to be saved, but didn't receive it. In Acts chapter 24, you study that chapter, Paul is before the governor, Felix. And the Bible says that he sent for Paul. Paul comes, and the Bible says that Felix heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Verse 25, the Bible says, and Felix trembled. Felix said, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You'll find in scriptures that that convenient season never came. Come to Acts chapter 26, Paul's giving his testimony before King Agrippa. The Bible says he's telling him how he got saved. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Don't let that be your testimony here this morning if you're lost. At a more convenient season. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Oh, my friend, don't die lost without the Lord. His goodness, his grace, and his mercy will save you. I think of my great-grandmother. I was 8 years old. I was born and raised there in Mount Airy, North Carolina. They had a ministry, a film ministry. My daddy and I went with him this night to show the Burning Hell film. The dates got mixed up, and we come back to the church, and evangelist was up preaching, and me and my daddy slipped in the back pew. Big building, big church, building, three sections of pews, and we come into the door, and we sit in the very back, facing the from the pulpit, be on the right side. I'll never forget it when Preacher Lackey sitting up on the platform, and he leaned back, motioned my daddy to come forth. My daddy that Sunday tried to go by the hospital. My grandmother, great-grandma, had a heart attack on Friday. My daddy went to see her on Sunday afternoon, and I stayed in the lobby. I remember my daddy telling me, I want you to pray. I want to see grandma get saved. My daddy went in to witness to her. She said, son, if that's all you got to talk about, I want you to leave. My grandma, great-grandma that night had a bad spell. They called the family in, and my daddy went into the hospital room. He said he saw two doctors and three nurses literally picking up my great-grandmother up off the bed. She was dying, screaming. My legs are on fire. I'm dying without God. You say, I don't believe in all that. You may not. Somebody said, you ever thought what y'all preach is false? I'll say this. If it is, I've lived a good life. I like what I've... But let's say that you say it ain't true. and you die lost, and you wind up that it was true. That hell was real. Heaven's real. God's real. Can I tell you this morning, I know He's real. I've seen Him change lives. I've seen what He's done to me. Saved me as a 5-year-old boy. My grandpa was an old drunk. Grandpa Talbert was a wicked man. Got saved when he was 29 years old. You name it, he done it. He was involved in it. But God saved him. My grandpa's family hadn't got saved. There's no doubt upon my life where I'd be at this morning. You mentioned the Talbert crowd back in Surrey County. They're all drunks. You name it, and they're doing it. But it's all because of God's goodness and His grace. I stand here this morning proclaiming that Jesus saves. That He'll save you. He still likes saving sinners. He still likes changing lives. Can I tell you this morning, I'm doing better than I deserve. I really am doing a lot better than I deserve. Our Father, pray that, Father, You take the message, that You do the work. We'll give You the praise and the glory. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.